allow me to introduce myself. The name is Isabella. Okay, I can't do an accent. I was trying to do an accent. Hey guys, and welcome back. Today we will be reviewing the Split Sword of Swanston Teen in a little bit of a different way than normal. Plus, we have acquired a DuckTales joke book written by Launchpad McQuack.
You acquired it?
I acquired it. And yeah, the jokes are like really cheesy, but it's Launchpad who did them, so it's funny. Good. So yeah, we'll be going a little bit over that, and I'll put a link for the book in the description. You can get it on Amazon for like, I don't know, $12. But anyway, a couple of the, I mean, most of the jokes are like, nah, but then some of them are pretty funny. But yeah, we'll go over that. Actually, yeah, we'll do that real quick before we get into the episode. Look. So it's basically it's a joke book. It's Launchpad's notepad of jokes. His goal is to make Scrooge McDuck laugh because he never laughs, and he knows that deep down Scrooge has a funny bone. He's trying to find it, so he goes through a bunch of, you know, corny jokes. I'm just gonna go through and read a couple. If there were... Hey, don't read the answer.
Sorry.
I can't do that one. You just read it.
I know. I didn't read it.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll go back to it. If there were a TV show about our adventures, what genre would it be?
Horror.
I mean, the trickening man.
Depends on the person's point of view. I don't know what would be.
A documentary.
Oh, God.
Let's see. A lot of them are knock-knock jokes. And I love the pictures in the books, too. They're all pretty cute. There's usually, you know, pictures from episodes, but then there's a couple extras. Random stuff. And then later, each duck has their own handwriting. As Launchpad, when he's writing, it's, like, not good. But then the triplets and Webby, they kind of cut in and write their own jokes. And then Scrooge has, like, this cursive.
I know, Scrooge is...
I'm trying to find this one joke. Dude, we should do jokes at the beginning of the episode. That would be funny to do that. Here, I got it. Why was the millionaire upset? I know you know this one.
Oh, because he thought he was a billionaire?
No, he used to be a billionaire.
Got it.
And Scrooge put in, this isn't funny, it's terrifying. But I also love, also, at the back of the book, it's more than a joke book. It's got random thoughts. Here, let me see. Launchpad's beautiful musings and deep thoughts, and just random ones. I love one. Why is Duckworth a dog?
That Duckworth. One's great.
Did my parents know I'd become a pilot when they named me Launchpad? Are they psychic? Let's see. There's one. Oh yeah. Wait. There's one. Why do we all wear the same clothes every day? Which in Let's Get Dangerous. Wait, you have other clothes. Why are pants called pants even though there's only one? And then later, I can't find it here, but it was like, why am I the only character that wears pants?
Like, yeah.
That made me stop and think about it. And then there's like things to pick up from the store. Some foot fungus cream for Scrooge. So anyway, it's pretty funny. I'm not going to tell you how it ends because that would ruin it, the whole point. So you'll just have to get it and find out. Yeah, it's pretty funny book, little joke book. I just pick it up and start reading. It's almost like a story of them all trying to make Scrooge laugh, and it's pretty funny. They've got a bunch of random stuff. What do you call this or that? Anyway, we just thought we'd go over that pretty quick. Okay, I need to stop reading stuff. Oh, here, wait. One is notes to self. Stop embarrassing Scrooge at fancy galas and remember what these words mean. There's hors d'oeuvres, cufflinks, spats, like caviar, just random stuff. Bidet.
Cologne.
Not a water fountain. So yeah, there's a bunch of funny stuff in that book. I recommend you get it. A little joke book there. Make your day a little bit more DuckTales and a little bit better.
More cheesy.
Yep, a little bit more Launchpad, because sometimes I end up reading the jokes out loud, you know, I'm just, like, talking like Launchpad. Oh, why am I laughing at this? something only Launchpad would laugh at. So anyway, getting into the review, we're going to be doing it a little bit different than normal. We're not going to go through every scene, every quote that they say. Because, frankly, we ran out of time. And we're like, we gotta get the episode up. So we're going to go over highlights. I mean, we're still going to get pretty in-depth, but we're just going to go over some main highlights and dig deeper into those. So, basically, first we'll go over the plot. Is basically the kids pair off in Marketplace to find the sword pieces before Foul, while Scrooge battles Black Heron the whole time. And I have to be honest, I really underestimated this episode, like, leading up. Like, oh, Spencer, yeah. Swanson Dean.
I thought it was going to be a filler.
Yeah, but then I watched it, I was like, yep, this is official. This is my new favorite episode. And I don't really do that about, you know, new episodes that come out. I'm a very season one person, you know, like, oh, what's a classic? Even though they're not classics, but I really like season one episodes. Reboot. But this is my official, this is my favorite episode because every character had their own thing going on. It wasn't like focusing on one character and the other character. It was like, no, they're over there. So it was really, really good. It was a super fun episode with the kids, you know, racing against Gandra, Rocker Duck, and Steelbeak, you know, mm-hmm. in their own ways. And we got a lot of the Foul agents. Like,
yeah,
we usually do not get that many in an episode. It was my voice. yeah, so it was pretty fun, you know, how many was that?
Four.
I was like, two?
Yeah, Bella.
So
was
yeah,
two.
Scrooge was pretty out of sorts in the last episode, Impossible, you know, like going around like a madman.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the last episode, he realized that he had his family and like they're his inner strength, which, you know, rolled over to this next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what they did with the episode, how it was like in sections, you know, it wasn't like jumping back this triplet, yeah. and this pair, and this Scrooge, and this. It was like, okay, we did this, we solved it, let's move on. We did this, we solved it, let's move on. But then Scrooge was kind of like thrown in randomly, you know?
Yeah, in between.
He was that, you know, little in between. Reminds me of Quack Pack Huey, like, how did I get here?
Why am I dancing?
So also, we added a new section to the podcast. It is most memorable moments. So we're going to go over. I'm just reading through the list. They crack up. I had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 most memorable moments.
I had 3, but she took one of mine.
It's the same. Okay, we had the same thing. So my first most memorable moment was Dewey's puns, you know? He's constantly using them. He's got some new ones. And then Webby, you know, does like a Dewey pun too. So just throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind if I do. We? Come on. So yeah, I like that one. Huey's multiple simulations, the yes. infinite simulations. That was, we'll get into that when we get to that part. What, you go.
For me, it was like in the beginning when Scrooge was just like, let's go on an adventure and what are you two doing here? And Buzz was just like, we're sleeping over. And you said, everyone in the plane. So we got in the plane.
I just love that. I like the tales of Louie Duck and Violet Saberwing.
Yeah.
That whole scene, that was like, oh, wow. That was
good. I like that entire, like, the entire thing.
The whole underworld thing that was all just like,
it was all good. Great.
yeah, and then wait, cheaters or cheetahs?
Oh my gosh, that was such a,
cheetah.
That was so good.
Every time I hear the word cheater or cheetah, I'm just gonna be like, wait, cheaters or cheetahs?
Another thing was when Gandra, like, lost her sight. And she went to step off the building. She, like, so confidently. She's like, I'm going to do this. And she just fell.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, most memorable moments. Quote to take away from this episode. It's a very unlikely quote that I got. Usually for every episode, I pick a quote, and that's just the quote I go with, and I say it for a week until the next episode. Or it's just, like, this has become one of the quotes in my vocabulary. I don't know why I picked this one. I don't really know why, but it's verum fortitudinum, which I believe is Latin, but it means inner strength. You know, Huey says it all the time, and then later when he's, you know, facing off with the Duke becoming, you know, teaming up with him, it's just like he whispers, like, verum fortitudinum. And so then, I mean, Siri can vouch for me. I'll just randomly walking by and just like, we are bored to do. Just like whispering it, like, why was that? What was that? The quote I got out of this.
For me, it was what sword? That was my favorite simulation.
The classic. Oh, you don't see anything.
It's like what sword?
Nope.
No, yeah. I'm not holding the sword. Oh, you're holding the sword. I'm not sneaking in.
You're sneaking in. Busted. You think I put glitter on my notebook just because it's pretty?
Head nod.
Well, yeah, it's a perk. That was great dime chase, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, I love how the sword of Swanstantine looks like a swan.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's from, you know, it was obviously like a play on words like Constantine. Swanstantine. Cracks me up how DuckTales. I can't think of anything. I know they've done that like a lot. But now I can't think of any moments they've done that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get back to on that one. So Webby and Dewey, you know, they were one of the teams. They're already, you know, pretty close. They're like family. But Huey and Lena and Louie and Violet, you know, they get to know each other, like a chance to know each other a little better in this episode, you know, get to know their strengths. Because, I mean, the triplets, you know, they've all hung out with Lena before, but not like one-on-one, like got you to all know I got him. To talk to. You know, Huey usually goes for like, he always goes for like Louie to talk to. And, you know, and Louie gets to see that Violet's more than a book nerd, you know, that, oh, wow, she's actually, you know, she's pretty cool.
She's useful.
And I was wondering, like, were the kids split up depending on their age? Because I know Huey and Lena are the oldest, but then I was like, is Webby older than Violet or is Violet?
I mean,
because that's what it depends on.
I almost said, well, Webby seems the same age as Dewey, but they're the oldest.
No, I'm just wondering. I always thought of Violet as older than Webby.
Me too, because she's taller.
No, Violet's shorter.
Did I say Violet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you say Violet?
Yes.
I heard Lena.
Violet is super short.
Yeah, Violet is.
I don't know if it's because she's short or because she's young.
I don't know.
But yeah, anyway. I don't know how old she is. I tried looking it up and nothing popped up. I was hoping to see Dewey's reaction to realizing Steelbeak wasn't a game. You know, like, oh my gosh, like, this is 00 Duck all over again. And then, like, realize, you know, that would have been cool. But no, even after he saw him, you know, he's still like, maybe then he kind of just put two and two together, you know, like, oh, launchpad new, huh? That'd be funny, like, if Dewey confronts launchpad. You knew and you forgot?
You were like, I don't know. There were just these, like, bars in my mind that wouldn't let me say it.
Yeah, and then back to how much did Launchpad see? Like, does he know more about the conspiracy than the family does? Like, we'll see about that. Or if they're just going to brush that one off. Like, he forgot, but now they know. I was also hoping for, like, a Huey moment talking to Gandra concerning Fenton, you know? Like, Fenton's going to be crushed.
I mean, well, Webby knew.
Yeah, but yeah, Webby saw, like, Agent D, but she said it like it was, you know, no. She's part of Al. Like, she's not shocked, you know? Like
Fenton.
What am I going to tell Fenton? So, Fenton. But yeah. Hopefully another Gizmoduck Fenton episode comes up with addressing that.
I'm super hoping.
Yeah, and we – super hoping?
Super hoping.
See, now you're starting
to – because he's a superhero.
You're starting to
Boom.
Talk. You're that starting was, to talk like me.
That was totally intended.
It was intentional. Okay, we also get the return of the Duke in the most comical way possible. Because I know we're in Huey's mind, you know, you're just
I was just thinking about super hoping.
In Huey's mind, you know, you're not, that's the least thing you expect until then you just see the door and you're like, the door, like, you didn't even have to read the sign. Everyone's just like, click, I know what that is.
No, honestly, I didn't even think about that. But I just saw the Duke, and I'm like, the Duke, I'm making a mess.
No, as soon as the door popped up and you're starting to get frustrated, I was like, the Duke's coming out. And then, also, Lena, in this episode, she doesn't have her sorceress look anymore. And it's because only when she uses a great amount of magic does she get that appearance, is what it is. So most of the time she'll be normal. We might see her again in this season, you know, in her sorceress look. appearance, but yeah, we'll see. And we also had, you know, foul agents, Jamila Jamil, Gandra, John, I hate last names. What did you say? Hodgman? Hodgman?
Hodgman.
John Hodgman. That's Rocker Ducks. Steelbeak is Jason Mantzoukas.
Mantzoukas.
You know, looks this like is my Montezuma. Least favorite and most favorite part of the podcast is decoding last names and sometimes first names. And then we had Black Heron, voiced by April Winchell.
Thank you for having an easy name.
Thank you, April. That's when it's like April. Dang it. Winchell. So yeah, we got their returns. Another small, well, I don't even know what to call this, like an Easter egg, I guess, of sorts, was Matthew Humphreys. He's the director of some of the DuckTales episodes. He was actually the director of this episode, Split Sword. You could see him. He was portrayed as a dog running out when he's, like, the dog running out of the Spicatorium after a spice off.
Mm-hmm.
That dog was, like, designed after Matthew Humphreys.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty funny. He was like a storyboard artist, but he moved to director.
It's funny, like looking at him, you're like, huh, interesting.
So that's what you look like as a dog. And let's see. Okay, we're going to actually start. Well, I'll let me one more thing real fast is I like how this, I know we talked about this right already, the camera, you know, it's switching off going with each character, you know, the cameras, you know, trades off.
I don't think we did,
like,
but.
No, we did. We had to have talked about that already.
Oh, okay then. Yeah, we did.
Oof.
Anyway, let's just talk about it again. Sorry if we did.
Nope, we already talked about that.
Okay. Sweet.
Anyway, so then, you know, this episode was almost like in sections, like we talked about earlier, you know. Okay, kids are doing this. Success. Let's move on. So there was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sections of this episode. So we'll be going through each one as treated as an individual section. So the first one is the intro before the kids all pair off to go their own separate ways. So we'll be discussing that. Is starts off, they're in a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. Something with an I. It started with an I. But then Kiwi, you know, is reading the journal. Like, according to Finch's journal, only those in tune with their inner strength could claim the sword from the heavens, the underworld, and splendor of the earth. I was like, I don't know what that part means. And I love Vi's imitation of Scrooge.
Oh, yeah, when they're, you know, saying, like, get in the plane.
She said, everyone, get in the plane. She looks up and, like, starts shaking her hands. And I just, like, that was her imitation of Scrooge. You know, just, like. I can picture him running in, you know, they're all sleeping, like, everyone get on the plane, you know, he's, like, swinging everywhere, like, we're going, like, what made him in, like, I don't know, he's like, we'll go there next, right now, like, let's go. Like,
it's like they were sleeping over, so, like, what time was it?
I mean, they either slept in or middle of the night.
Like, was it, like, early night, middle of the night, or?
Yeah, and we didn't see the plane or launch pad. In this episode. So it's like, what's launch pad doing?
You're
like,
how'd they get there?
Might be sleeping. Maybe had a late night St. Canard.
That could be.
Because I know he wasn't in the last episode either. Impossible. But that was like daytime. And then by the end of the episode, it was nighttime. So I don't know what he was doing in between all that.
Mm-hmm.
On his way to St. Canard and then in St. Canard by the end of the episode. Yeah, we really need a Scrooge and Violet episode. Because we had, you know, the Scrooge and Webby episode. We had a Scrooge and Lena episode in Shadow War, you know?
Oh,
when he's
yes.
Kinda, you know, he's talking to her about after Magica's, you know, revealed she was working for Magica.
Mm-hmm.
So now we need a Scrooge and Violet episode, you know, to be like, you know, you're pretty smart and, you know, you can drink spice. Like, you're pretty cool. So, pretty yeah, that'd be cool. And then Dewey, of course, you know, goes after the kebabs.
Shish kebab.
Shish kebab. I always called them kebabs, so.
It's tomato, tomato.
It made me think, are kebabs like some form of cannibalism in the duck world? Because, you know, everyone's an animal. It's like, is that another?
I mean, there's also hamburgers.
Hot dogs.
I mean, I guess we've never seen a cow.
Maybe cows are like, I don't know, though, because, you know, there's the ducks.
And I mean, they were feeding the ducks.
In Moon Menace, you know?
Of the ducks.
So there's the intelligent and there's the non-intelligent. And they eat the non-intelligent.
Oh, it's okay. Those humans over there, they're not intelligent.
They're not smart. So we can eat them. So, yeah.
It'd be messed up.
That just got me thinking, like, cannibals. They're eating liver kebabs. But then, I love Scrooge's mix-up, you know, thinking he sees Black Karen, because he's you know, on the lookout, like, we're here. Fowl's here somewhere. Mm-hmm. So then he's like, oh, they're metal arm, you know? So then
metal arm.
Yeah, I love how he goes and he, like, flips the lady around and, like, points straight at her face, like, ha, got you.
He's like,
oh. It's not until he stared straight at her for, like, a split second later, he's like, oh my gosh, I am, like, I'm so sorry.
The lady, like, totally bent like over backwards when she beat him up.
Yeah, she grabs him and, like, does a back bend, like, dang, you're flexible.
Dang, lady.
So then Scrooge ends up battling with Heron basically the whole episode while the kids pair off to go do their own thing. And you also see when he goes to battle Heron, she pulls out her knife, a part of her robot arm, and Scrooge, like, throws his cane from his sleeve. And when we saw that, it was like in Possibin, you know, when he's fighting the robot, like, this is a robot shaped after me, and, you know, the robot, actually, no, we watched this episode when we watched Impossibin again, we're like, wait, the robot did the whole cane sleeve thing.
And it, like, popped out of his sleeve.
Yeah, so it was built after him. I've never really thought about
it. I thought that was really cool.
The cane just slips out of his sleeve, you know, and grabs it.
I mean, the cane is, like, way longer than his arm, so that doesn't really make sense.
Like, it just folds until he pulls it out. But anyway, that's another little thing, is that robot was really based off of Scrooge because it did all his fighting techniques and it knows how to pull out a cane.
I mean, it'd be cool if Scrooge had two canes like the robot.
Yeah, I love, though, in the whole scuffle, you know, Scrooge just tells the kids, like, pair off, go find the sword pieces. Yeah. But then, you know, they all get up and run. Oh, also, I like when Heron goes and knocks them all over. They all, like, fall in a line.
I know.
And then they all sit up and turn around
in sync.
Complete sync. It just cracks me up. But then, so then Scrooge tells them, go find the sword, pair off. But I love how they're doing it. Everyone's, you know, running. They all have their own different types of runs, you know. But then Louis, like, totally falls backward and lands flat on his back. He's just laying there in Black Karen. She almost stabs him.
You're like, dang, that would have been the end of
Louis. Yeah, and, like, Louis, like, tries to scoot
out of the
way.
Imagine if, like, one of them died. You're like, oh my gosh.
Like, and that's how DuckTales ends.
And that's how DuckTales ends.
So, yeah, it cracked me up, you know, just the random, if you, you know, just sit there and watch an episode enough, you're just like, Louis just falls over and is laying there. He almost gets stabbed, gets up and runs away panicked, you know, like, oh my god. I
saw my life flash before my eyes. Like,
ah! And so then Violet, you know, asks, like, should we change first, you know? But then Louis grabs her, like,
let's go.
Come on. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention before we moved on, I should have said this at the beginning, was this, you know, the triplets are all different aspects of Scrooge's different strengths that he has. And I love the part when he was, you know, speaking gibberish to them, like, Verum Fortitudinum, you know, how Scrooge and Dewey do, like, the, like, oh, yeah, yeah. And Dewey, you know, does his, like, Except he's like, yeah, like, oh yeah, I totally get what you mean. It cracks me up, you know, how Dewey and Scrooge, you know, have, they're similar in that area, you know, just like, I know what you're talking about. So then, moving on, that was section one. We're going on to section two of Webby and Dewey. They go to the heavens, and the foul agent they're fighting is Gandra. So, you know, Webby's, you know, like, gotta be discreet about
it. I was excited to see Gandra.
Yes. We've been waiting for, you know, a Gandra episode. I'm sad Fenton wasn't in it, but we finally got a Gandra episode.
Mm-hmm. Her voice is really cool.
All right. The big computer.
There's no crime.
So, yeah. I was super excited to see Gandra. I mean, it's been a couple episodes prior, but...
Well, she was an Impossibin kind
of. But now she's playing Gandra. Oh, yeah, she was Impossibin, but...
She didn't talk.
She said something, right?
No.
Anyway.
I don't know.
So, yeah, they go to the heavens part of the whole mystery. And so, you know, Dewey's going through the marketplace shouting, like, sword! Anyone seen a sword? looking for a sword, you know?
Hey, do you have a sword?
I love how he's walking up to people and, you know, they're just shaking their head like,
no, what?
Yeah, and so then Dewey states he is, like, later he states he's a legend, you know, like, I'm gonna go to heaven if legends live forever. It's just like, that's part of his confidence, you know, like,
all
it's
the
proving his confidence.
Into, you know, that,
like,
phrase, though.
Legend. It's like, never gonna die. So, yeah, and then, you know, Gandra goes and scans them, you know. I love how, you know, Webby's like a
like threat, ultimate threat, you know? Or something.
Like, super, super big threat, and Dewey's just like, meh.
Meh.
He's fine. On his own, yes, he is not a threat. But when he's teamed up with someone, he's unstoppable.
Apparently. No.
Apparently. He's usually like that.
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, the flash bomb. I love Gandra, the quote, though. Like, on one hand, I don't want to hurt you. But in my other hand, I've got a flash bomb. Just like, oh, that was a total Gandra thing to say. But then, oh my gosh. If there was one complaint I had for this episode, it was their eyes. After they were, like, blinded, I was just like,
I mean, if they weren't different. Like that, then you would have, like, forgotten that they existed.
Yeah, you would have forgotten. It would have been, you know, weird, but it was just, like, not just because they were straight, you know, looking straight ahead, they were, like, crooked. You're just like, oh my gosh. And, you know, like, the odd music playing here just makes the whole scene better, you know, just like, we're doing
something off here,
you know? And so then you see Webby depends a lot on her eyesight, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, now I think she might start training, you know, to work without eyesight. Because at the end, you know, you see her eating kebabs. You know, she's covering her eyes, feeding it to Dewey. But, yeah. And then Dewey's new cat, Fluffy.
Like, you're like one of those hairless helper cats, right, Fluffy?
And I'm like, what'd you do with your last cat? Because in one of the Dewey Denights, he had a cat, you know?
Oh, yeah. He just like, pats it on the head. I love that.
See you on the other side. But I gotta say, that little cat in Dewey Denight was like so cute.
And there's
so
there's another unintelligent
animal. I believe
animal.
That was Dewey Denight bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Because they turned off the lights.
Yeah. Time for bed, doofer.
I mean, but like, cats are intelligent, but... No, I'm sorry, not cats. Dogs are intelligent, but cats aren't.
someone who's working for DuckTales.
I mean,
it's not like cats, you
but
know,
like certain yeah. cats are like lions and cheetahs.
Cheaters or cheetahs? And so then, you know, after Dewey's blinded, you know, he's breezing through this whole, it's almost like an obstacle course to him, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get through this, get to the foul agent. But what was I gonna say? It was like, it reminded me of Woo, you know, when he's walking through the lasers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I love how, like, there's something right in front of him, but he takes the hard way to get to it.
Yeah, there's a ladder. So, there's a ladder right there. So, let me jump on this pole, climb a rope, just, like, flip over the top. Just do it. I mean, he can't see the ladder, obviously, but it's funny. Like, there's an easy way to do this, and he just walks the hard way. And I love how, as he's doing everything, it's like, oh, he almost died there. He almost died there, too.
And then a few times, he'd just kind of fall. And
yeah,
just,
he'll
like,
land on his feet and, like, fall over, like, oh.
Whoops. Well, let me get back up. That's
let me get back up and just jump. So, yeah, that was pretty funny scene. We were talking, you know, a couple episodes ago how he's upped his abilities.
Yeah.
So now this one was like, just blindfold Dewey and he'll take anything out.
I know. He's like, it's okay. I can't see the
danger. I can't see the danger. And let's see. Like, as they're climbing the beams, you know, you go back a little bit to Scrooge and Heron, you know, they're fighting. And so then Heron runs into one of the beams that Webby was trying to climb up. And so she kind of, like, slips but catches her grip, you know. But then, you know, she goes like, oh, phew. And it reminded me of, like, the Impossible Summit of Mount Everest, you know, when they're, like, they're all sledding down the hill, you know. They're like, ah! And then they, like, wormhole. Oh,
yeah.
Phew. It's just, like, the constant of, like, they had a lot of scenes, you know, like, okay, maybe one or two, but no, they're like 10 scenes. I'm like, phew. So it just reminded me of that. And yeah, Dewey's vision, he comes back when he's about to fall into a dump. You know, it's okay. Can't see the danger. I'm fine.
It's like, oh, wait, my vision's coming back. I'm gonna die.
Yeah, and this is a random thing to try to figure out, but we were trying to figure out there's a couch in the dumpster, like in the dump that Dewey's hanging over.
Is there a couch in the bin?
Is there?
I don't know.
Okay, we were trying to figure out. It was a mixture because, you know, in the TV room, there's a couch where, like, You don't realize how many red couches there are in DuckTales, so you try to look them up. Scrooge has a, you know, couch in the TV room, but we're like, no, it's not that one because the top of that one is, like, rounded. And then we're like, maybe Ottoman Empire. And we're like, no, it's not that because it was flat, but it still had, like, the armrests were a little differently shaped. They weren't, like, the ones in the dump were square, and then, you know, the other ones are round. So we're like, I don't know where that couch is from. So I think we spent a little too much time trying to figure out where the couch was from.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So then Dewey and Webby realize that their inner strength is, you know, Webby's like, his inner strength's confidence. And then he's like, oh, we can do teamwork. Because, you know, Dewey now has his eyesight back. So then, you know, I love how he tells her what to do. You know, she does it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they end up frying Gandra's eye circuits, so now she can't see. Now the shoe's on the other foot. I love how some DuckTales characters wear shoes and others don't.
I know.
It's like, maybe they're like, my feet hurt when I'm just gonna wear shoes now, because my feet hurt from stepping on stuff.
I don't think there's a couch in the bin.
There might be one in the lobby. The bin's lobby.
That? Right there?
No, that's Scrooge's office. The lobby.
What
the episode? Lobby! The Great Time Chase! When Scrooge comes in, Louie! And he's like, oh, nothing. And
right.
Okay. She's still looking for a couch. So then they end up frying her eye circuits. And I love how sometimes DuckTales has incredible scenes and like, oh my gosh, those are cool. And then sometimes they have Gandra walking off a building, you know, like, she's all blinded, you know, like, I got this, and she takes a step and falls.
I know.
And then I love watching it. Sierra's like, I wonder if she didn't break her neck. Like, she fell head first.
She fell head first.
You know? I guess foul agents are immortal. At least Gandra is. So then, you know, Dewey and Webby are having this amazing speech, you know, like, the moral of the story is, like, the adventure was that their true inner strength was, you know, friendship, like, we got this with anything, friendship and teamwork, and mm-hmm. Dewey's like, yeah, and the friends we made along the way, right, Fluffy? You know, it's just like, Snake. So that part just cracked me up, because it's just like, I don't know why, but it's obviously a Snake Dewey. Yeah, I mean, it's the Snake hiss, you know, it's like, he said yes. So yeah, then we've got a bit, I call it an intermission. It's not really, it's just continuing the episode. It's Scrooge and Heron are fighting still, but then they come up to a restaurant. And, you know, the host is like, do you have a reservation? And the host was actually voiced by Rob Paulsen, who was the original voice of Steelbeak. He obviously did not voice Steelbeak in the new reboot, but, you know, they're like, oh, we'll give you a job anyway. You know, you're going to be a host. And he also voiced Gladstone Gander in DuckTales 1987 in a couple episodes there. So it was pretty funny, you know, they're like, we feel really bad about not giving you Steelbeak, so here you go, you're gonna be a host. So yeah, I love how Heron and Scrooge have like an exchange with the host in which they realize like, we don't have reservations, you know, but they both look like they did something wrong almost by not having a reservation. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know, Scrooge is sitting there and then he all of a sudden, like, he just kind of flops down. And then Bud Heron just kind of, like, flops, just like, dang it, we didn't reserve anything. Like, what are we going to do now? And so then the host, like,
the sound that like, Scrooge's cane makes when he flops.
Yeah, because he just, like, puts his arms down, you know, and the cane just, like, taps the floor. I don't know why.
I like the sound.
It's the random scenes that we get the most pleasure out of. So then, you know, the host's like, I suppose we can make room on the patio. But I love how he's sitting there talking about we don't have any room. And in the background, inside the restaurant, you see there's a table with two chairs and no one's in them. And then you see a table next. You don't see if anyone's in that one, but it looks pretty empty, too. It's just like, there's like two tables in there that are empty. No one's sitting in that. That was pretty funny.
So I know, it's like, seriously, like, dude.
Well, I suppose this whipping will have to be al fresco, and then they just keep fighting, you know. So I love how then they, like, run in the restaurant, you know. They probably went to the patio, fought for a bit, you know. Like, okay, let's move on.
Eating along the way.
That would have been funny. Because I love how, you know, it's like they're so almost, like, dumbfounded by, you know, the host stopping them. Just like, what? What's happening? So then we go on to Louis and Violet. I love how Scrooge and Heron kind of like connect each, you know, the character, the mm-hmm. triplets pairs and stuff. I call them the triplets, but it's the girls too. So Louis and Violet.
That's why I'm saying the girls, not just the boys.
Yeah, there's the boys. Yeah, it's odd. You know, I'm not used to saying that. It's like Luna, Violet, and Webby. So then.
The boys and others.
And others. Mr. McDuck.
Others.
And others. So then they go to the underworld, and the foul agent they have to deal with is Rocker Duck. Love how, you know, they're walking there, and Violet's, you know, like, I got my pennies or whatever to pay, and mm-hmm. I found this axe, you know, and she just pulls out an axe. It's like,
you know, sorry, this is random. I was still thinking about Rocker Duck. I think Rocker Duck is my favorite foul person.
You're joking.
No, I think he's my favorite because he's so funny and like just his personality. I don't know. I think he's my
really?
Favorite.
Really? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's between him and Bradford, seriously.
I'm going to be honest, is Rocker Duck, I've never really cared much for him, you know, just like, it's whatever. I mean, he's pretty funny. And
he's awesome to me.
I don't know. Something about him, I'm just like, whatever. But I don't know who my favorite agent is, though. I'm going to have to think on that one. It'd probably be like the Phantom Blot.
I knew you were going to say that.
I can't wait to see him in the next episode. Phantom Blot. You know, if Magica was a part of Foul, though, I'll be like, Magica. So, yeah, Violet pulls an axe out of nowhere, but then Louis sees, he's like, the underworld is just a con. Everything's a con. Like, it's fine. So then, makes me wonder, how long has he been building, like, the Elias of the Silver-Tongued Serpent, you know, like, just in case he ever needed it,
since
you know?
He started going downstairs.
Downstairs?
Down the stairs.
That seems like he's texting everywhere. Serpent, serpent, serpent. They're like, there's a serpent on the loose. And I'm like, there he is. No, I mean, he's gotta be, like, I don't know, is it ever since he moved into the mansion? Was it before he even moved into the mansion?
He's like, yeah, just gave.
You never know when you need to go, you know, you need to just be super intimidating, dude, you know, you're just like.
I mean, now everyone's just like, wait, the serpent is fake? What?
Yeah, like, woo. So then word obviously got around about that, because everyone, you know, he walks in, everyone's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's this little, what? I don't even know how tall is he. He's short.
How tall is he?
You always think in the DuckTales world, what is their size compared to ours? Because do you ever think that?
No.
Like, I just randomly think, like, what if they're just, like, super short, you know? Like, super tiny. Like, everyone's a foot tall.
I mean, are there, like, houses and stuff smaller?
Tara's bulb is, like, life size because it's. See, so you.
We're laughing way too hard at this.
Okay, anyway.
Launchpad is like one of the shorter people.
It. So then.
This isn't even that funny.
I'm talking about. Okay. So then, there's. Louis goes and introduces Violet, too. He's like, the notorious Violent Saber. And that's pretty funny for me, because whenever I write reviews, I go to write Violet, and for some reason, it autocorrects to Violent. And so then it's like, huh, I finally get to write Violent. Violet as Violent. So I don't know why. I was just like, oh, that's funny. So then, you know, I love how he just comes up, you know, she's Violent Saber. So then I love how as they're walking down the stairs, so you see in the background, like, do not accept checks from this man, and it's Glomgold. And I told Sierra that before we started recording, I had a challenge for her. I wasn't going to tell her what it was. I'm going to tell her now. Is the sign says, do not accept checks from this man. I want you to, you've got 20 seconds to come up with a story of what Glomgold did to make himself not, to make everyone think, like, don't accept checks from this guy. So, I'm going to start your timer. Okay, I'll be fair. I'll give you 30 seconds, okay? You gotta come up with a good story, and it's pretty funny. That seems very Glomgold.
I already got it right now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Dude, okay, go.
He forged Scrooge's name, and then Scrooge is just like, what the heck? And he took money. Not took money, but he, like, got the money back from everyone.
You didn't involve any sharks in that.
Oh, he delivered them with sharks.
Okay, that was pretty. That's more realistic then. Well, I guess Glomgold's unrealistic. So I was thinking unrealistically. I ought to come up with something random. So then, down in the Spicatorium, it's kind of like you get a couple cameo appearances, you know, because you got some Sky Pirates and Keith Ferguson returns as Ugly Mug from Sky Pirates in the Sky. You see, I figured out their names, Clown and Capsule from Astroboid, which were the two people that were robbing the bank.
Those are creepy names.
Clown. I believe it was Slash. It could have been Hack, but Slash is a taller one, right? Hack is the shorter one of the two wolves, you know?
I just know them as Hack and Slash.
It was Slash. You get one bodyguard from Louis XI, who is guarding the stage. And you get a trucker he was from a Goofy movie as well as Quack Pack, which we talked about him in,
What did we talk about
him? Which episode was that we recorded? I believe it was in the last one, but the one before. Forbidden Fountain.
Oh, okay.
It was in the Forbidden Fountain. We were talking about him because he's, you know, he's been in it in Quack Pack. He was in the Pep commercial.
So now he's in another episode.
Yeah, and it makes me think, like, has he been in more episodes and I just wasn't paying attention? You know, he's just there. Because, you know, you get in this episode, you know, you're like, oh, I've seen that person before. Oh, I've seen that person just walking around. And then there was another, I couldn't tell. He was like the duck, you know, like a Latino duck. I don't know. I've seen him before in Duckburg.
A dog.
I don't. No, it wasn't a duck. It was a bird.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
but I feel like I've seen him as a dog before. I think that's what we came to the conclusion of was he was in the Spicatorium. We've seen him as a dog before. But now he was, like, some type of bird. I don't know. Or it's just, you know, we've seen him somewhere else before in Duckburg. Just everyone looked familiar. And let's see. We also have one of the sailors who, you know, was actually the first character we ever saw in DuckTales, you know? You know, you got to think back to that. You're like, oh, yeah, that's true. The first, you know, first thing we saw was a seagull. But then, you know, the sailor shooing the seagull away, you know? First dude we ever saw in DuckTales, you know, he was there. You know, whenever there's like a type of like a sea adventure or whatever, Duke Bologna, I can think of, you know, the sailor's always there.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then there's the Spice Baron Knight. Dude, let's see. There's so many names. This is like F-L-U-L-A. Flua, Flua, Flula, Flua.
Wait, where is it?
Oh, Flula. Flua. I think it's Flula. It's German.
It's Flula.
It's German, so it's got to be like Flua. Flua? Flua?
I'm not a German.
It was a Spice Baron. He had a German accent, and we didn't realize this first time. I think it was the third time we watched it. We were like, okay, this is what happened. I was sitting there like, you know, he's pretty cool. I wonder what kind of animal is he? Let me figure out. I was like, oh, he's a dog. Like, he's a German Shepherd. And I was like, this year's like, he's got a German accent. He's a German Shepherd with a German accent, and he's voiced by this guy he's German. He's a German actor.
Like, that was not an accent.
So
I thought it was funny because when she said he was a German Shepherd, I just started laughing, and she's like, what are you
laughing at? Yeah, she's like, he's a German Shepherd. She starts busting up.
She has a German accent.
Like,
did I say she?
He is a German accent. Like, he's got a German accent. I was like, oh my gosh, that's funny. I didn't even think of that. And so then, you know, Lou is looking to spruce up his torture dungeon. It's like, whoa, Louis. You make you think, was that a lie? Or does he really have a torture dungeon somewhere?
He's probably planning it.
For who? We're going to see it in the later episodes. Like, oh, he did have one. But then Rocker Duck offered 50 pounds for this was the guard they were going after. And yeah, it cracks me up because there's like a bunch of different types of money in DuckTales. Like, stick to one.
I know.
He offers pounds, you know, and then
it was
American.
Pounds of gold.
Oh, pounds of gold.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. But I love how Violet's like, you like, Louis, Fowl got here. You had to stop for the kebab. The liver kebab. I'm like, he likes liver but not bladder?
Big difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Part of the intestine. Not intestine.
But
yeah, it's funny. Sheep's bladder, liver. Who knows what kind of liver it was? Duck liver. Cannibals. So then I love how Louis' cons never go the way he plans, but he keeps, you know, he keeps doing them. I mean, they always work out, but it's never how I thought it would. And mm-hmm. So we need an episode where Louis pulls a con that goes off without a hitch, you know, just like this whole thing worked because in Louis 11, you know, he had a con. In the end, he got what he wanted, but it didn't.
Actually, he didn't. His whole point was for the three caps to be on the it list.
I believe they made it to the it list.
No, because Donald's voice was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then there's, you know, Louis, you know, the whole con episode, Happy Birthday Doofus Drake, when, you know, they go, him and Goldie team up, pull a con, you know, Goldie got that con. But yeah, it's like, he keeps doing it. They always go away he doesn't expect them to. So that'd be funny. Maybe in the season 3 finale, we'll get something like that. You know, it's a part of the grand scheme of things, you know, he needs to con something. So then his con ends up leading to a spice off. And
I love how right before that, Violet was just like, but what if you, like, have to face the consequences of your lie or something?
Like, I'll deal with that another time.
It's like, that's a future Louis problem.
Yeah, and Rocker Duck's spice pun. Oh, what is it? Like, this, like, even the most unseasoned of, was it criminals?
I don't know. It probably.
Or something knows this, and he's like, get it? It's a spice pun. Like, everyone laugh at my spice pun.
And it is a spice pun. Laugh at my spice pun.
Yeah, so then you get that Rocker Duck's taste buds were singed off when he was frozen. And I'm like, why didn't the Fountain of Youth change that? You know? I guess it makes them younger,
but... I mean, if you have a broken arm, would the Fountain of Youth put it back?
Yeah, because you go back in time. And you're just... Your brain goes back in time.
Okay. If you were missing an arm... Would the Fountain of Youth bring it back?
I don't know. Ask the Fountain of Youth.
Excuse me, sir.
Like, do you give arms back? You're like, nope. Okay, thank you. Bye. So then, also Louis mentioned Spoonerville. I believe it was some type of cook-off type thing, you know? He mentioned Spoonerville, which is the city town that Goofy lives in. And it made me remember Goofy. Like, oh, we need to see Goofy again, you know? Mm-hmm. Like.
Oh, yeah,
that dude's still here. So I'm like, maybe the family will take a trip to Spoonerville, you know, sometime.
I almost said that'd be fun.
I love Louis, you know, cool. Trying to cover up that he can't do spice. He's like, I got an iron esophagus. It's pretty cool. That was another close, like, let's see, I got the Varum Fortitudinum, and then I got an iron esophagus. Pretty cool. It's like, that was pretty funny. But then he tries to, you know. He goes and throws the spice onto Ugly Mug, which actually when I saw the Sky Pirates, we went back and watched Sky Pirates in the Sky and then realized that David Tennant, Danny Pudi, and Bobby Moynihan all voiced pirates.
And when they're singing like the song, you hear
Huey.
You hear Huey and Louie in certain parts.
You know, David Tennant. What we got in the treasure ain't that what most important, Captain?
But we got the treasure, Captain. Ain't that what really matters?
Yeah, it was just like, that was like, because we go back and we're like, he was one of the pirates. Let's listen to which one he was. And so then we're listening and it's just like, there he is.
That's Scrooge. I think it was like Hat Pirate or something.
Yeah, it was
like
Hat Pirate. So I was
he got the hat first.
Actually, the other ones, I think, had the hat first. But anyway,
I don't know.
Or he was the first one. I don't know. What do I know? But anyway.
We literally just said the same thing.
Really?
I said, I don't know. What do I know?
We do that a lot. So, yeah, they cracked me up. You know, they voice pirates. And so then I realized, I'm going to be honest, I have seen that episode. I could probably count on one hand how many times I've seen that episode. Which, you know, all the other episodes I watched so much. But I don't watch that one that much. And I didn't realize how much I liked it. Because I always thought, like, this is a very interesting episode. With the... But I don't know. But then it's got a great ending, you know, and then it's a Dewey episode. Dewey looks so cute in that hat. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna watch this one more. So yeah. Whole point of that was Ugly Mug was in one of the main pirates in this episode. Plus you saw, I believe you saw like the first mate too.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting down. You didn't really see her much. But Louis goes and throws the thing of spice on Ugly Mug.
Poor guy.
Got a great Erebus. So then, I love how Louis just like, goes down like a glass of goat's milk.
Maybe think, like goat's milk?
Are goats smart in Duckburg?
I don't know. Maybe they brought some back from Goatool.
They got goat's milk, you know? Tried it there. Like, oh, it's not that bad. So yeah, this was a big episode of like, wait, are there liver? Where'd you get the liver from? Cannibals here? But then Vi ended up biting the bullet for him, you know, by downing all three of the spices. And there was a small animation error here too, because right after she eats the spices, you know, then the spice baron's just like, she's dry as a bone. You see she's in her sweater, not in her PJs. And it's just one scene. But then the next scene, she's back in her PJs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then Rocker Duck ends up exposing Louie. Like, don't you know who that is? That's Louie Duck. And I love how he knows who Louie is, you know?
I mean, like, maybe Fowl did a study on the family or something.
Yeah, it's like every triplet has to have their enemy. I'm trying to remember who Huey's was because, you know, there's, of course, what's his name? Sky Pirates. What's his name?
Don Carnage.
Oh, thank you. I cannot believe I forgot that. Don Carnage, he's, you know, Dewey's, like, arch enemy, you know? Like, can I still destroy Dewey Duck?
I mean, Louie doesn't really have one either.
Louie just got one. It's Rocker Duck knows who he is now. He's probably going to be an enemy with Rocker Duck now, you know? Rocker Duck's going to be
angry about that. I mean, for him, it's kind of like Doofus.
It's probably all of them for Louie. after, you know, Richest Duck, the one before that. Glomtails.
Yeah.
But I guess everyone held more of a grudge against Glomgold for that one.
Yeah.
They didn't really take it out on Louie. But
he's a kid.
I'm a kid. That was a Tangled the Series quote. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so what was I saying? Yeah, I love how Rocker Duck knows Louie's name. I just like that for some reason. So everyone gasped, you know? Like, the main point of everyone being in the Spiceatorium was for their reactions. You know, everyone gasped, everyone cheered. Like, they gasped a lot in this episode. You know, it's just like, what about this? Oh, we're going to do that. You know, it's just like, everyone's gasping the whole time. So then Violet, you know, comes in like, that is the very Louie Duck who vanquished the Bombi, overthrew the Pharaoh, Tothra, and crushed Scrooge McDuck's greatest enemies with a single pen stroke. And that just, I went back to signing Llewellyn, you know?
I know.
Which his original name in DuckTales, it was Louis. In the original DuckTales, but they changed it to Llewellyn for purely humorous reasons.
He's like, I hate my real name, but it looks cool in this.
Yeah, Bombi was Richest Duck. Pharaoh Tothra was Living Mummies of Tothra. And then we're just talking about Glomtails, which I love. You ever like, Louie's such a great character.
He really is.
All the stuff he's done. And so then Louie goes like, oh, so says Violet Saberwing, conqueror of the Shadow Realm, like scourge of the dread sorceress Magicka Dispel. And I love how they're both standing on the table at this point. No, like, we're telling a story. Let's stand on the table. That's just what you do. They got that one from Scrooge.
That's true.
Or Della. She likes climbing on furniture. And I love how all you have to do is hang out with the Duck family to become an adventurer. Adventurer. Because, you know, Violet, you know, before Friendship Hates Magic, you know, she's just raiding all the time. And now she's like, I've done all this stuff, you know, conquer the Shadow Realm, face Magicka, you know. It's got to be friends with them.
Face Magicka on several occasions.
Yep. So, yeah, I loved this whole scene, you know, of them talking. Well, I said it was a really memorable moment was they're just talking. It was, like, so cool just, like, going back almost, like, they're mentioning stuff, like, little cameos.
Yeah.
Going back just like, oh, my gosh, DuckTales is so good. So, let's see. They end up getting the guard because Rocker Duck started sweating. So then, oh, wait, we didn't even mention the cheetah.
Oh.
I feel like we talked about it because we did, you know, mentioned it earlier. But, you know, when Louie first goes and, like, throws the spice at Ugly Mug, he's like, the Spice Baron's like, you know what we do to cheaters here, you know? And then he looks over and there's
accent,
cheetahs here. So then you look over and you see the cheetah taking an elevator ride. But, I mean, where he goes, I don't know. He be gone.
Where it ends, no one knows.
So, yeah. And then, yeah, I love that whole part because Louis, you know, cheaters or cheetahs? It's like, correct move.
Both.
So then Rocker Duck ends up getting an elevator ride too. And I love, you know, the elevator like comes down. Well, it's a rickety, it's not an elevator. It's like, it's, you know, those old fashioned, just basically a box that takes you up and down.
So it's pretty much a jail on chains.
Yeah. Goes up to the second story and who knows what happens up there. So then Rocker Duck gets an elevator ride. And when the, you know, the thing comes back down, there's no cheetah. No cheater and no cheetah. So then I love, you know, they get the guard and then they come out, you know, and Louis kind of like, he found a new hero. Like, it's Violet, like, oh my gosh, like, how the heck did you, like, eat all the spice, you know, because she's like, because she's talking like, oh, our inner strength was true. So he's like, yeah, yeah, but like, how did you eat all that spice? You know, she's like, Tibetan focus techniques. And she's like, she's got a membership to like the Spice of the Month Club. And I was curious. I looked up Tibet. It's in China. In case anyone was wondering. So their inner strength is truth. And now we go on to my favorite section, Huey and Lena. So they're going to Splendor of the Earth, and the foul agent they have to deal with is Steelbeak. And of course Huey ends up with Splendor of the Earth, you know, the party didn't understand. Which makes me think, you know, I wonder if they're all running, you know, they had to pair off, you know, but they're all running like, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get that. And like, okay, we're gonna go get this one, you know?
I know.
Or running around. So then Huey in this episode says my most relatable quote ever to apply to DuckTales. Like,
oh yeah.
He said it and I just started dying. Like, podcasting. Did I say DuckTales?
Yeah.
I meant to say podcasting. Me being a podcaster, what he said at this moment was just so much, like, so relatable.
I know we have to act quickly. Just let me cross-reference Finch's notes with the city's layouts.
Yeah, it was so funny. It cracked me up. I was dying because it was just like, he said it, I went back a couple times, like, Sierra, come over here. I'm like, this is what I do when we were about to podcast. Like, I know, but yeah. I just gotta cross-reference this. I gotta look up this real fast. Like, it'll be really quick, and then we'll record.
I will sit down to record, and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing, like, this.
I'm researching McDuck's family, you know?
She's like, I'm looking up what this place is, seeing if it's real.
Is this a real place? Oh, yeah, it's in China. So, yeah, I do random stuff like that. And then Lena, you know, they end up finding the sword. Like, oh, it's in the ground. And Lena, you know, Lena's just like, oh, my gosh, she's such a nerd. You know, like, just get the sword and get out of here. Like, this is crazy. So then Lena is just, you know, going at it with a hammer, you know, like, hammers are strong. But then, you know, they end up getting the sword out Huey's way, which she's probably very pleased with, you know, like, oh, we did it my way, the sword is safe, everything's safe. But then Steelbeak, you know, comes out. But I love how Huey knows who Steelbeak is. After Fowl is probably doing, like, trying to figure out
agents. They probably did an agent on, not an agent, they probably did a review on Fowl characters. Oh my gosh, I can't talk.
Fowl villains.
Fowl agents.
Yes. So then, you know, Steelbeak's, you know, going after him, like, no, give me the sword. So then Lena, she has accepted her magic, you know, and now she has complete control over her magic. Mm-hmm. You know, no more, like, bad amulet. Bad. I'm gonna get rid of you. So now she's got full control over her magic. She totally knows how to control it. And so then she puts them in Huey's, like, in his mind trap. You know, like, I froze time here. And I was like, how often do you think she does that? You know, like, oh my gosh, I need a break. Let's just step time. So I love how Huey's mind's pretty empty, pretty blank, you know, which means it's just everything's in order, tucked away, you know. And I'm like, that made me think, I wonder what Dewey's is like, you know. What's going on in his brain? It's probably like a bunch of, you know, Dewey's just dancing around in a line.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, you know the dance in DuckNet Returns that he does, you know, when he, let's see, finds, you know, the clip, like, here it is, plugs in his computer and he's just dancing. Just picture like 100 of those Dewey's just dancing, you know. That's what's going on in his brain. And so then Huey's, you know, like, I got a brilliant idea. Like, let's run infinite simulations, analyze everything, and figure out the best way to do this.
I can analyze every option.
So then Lena's just like, oh my god, like, I was trying to figure out where to punch him, you know? Like, we don't have to do that. So then
this should give us some time. He's like, we have all the time in the world.
Yeah, so then she's like, okay, fine. So I love how every time, like, she snaps her fingers, you know? So then the first time, he tries to run away. And I love how he, like, does, like, a somersault type thing, you know, trying to run. He just, I love that, you know, because it's the perfect first one, you know, just, like, running away. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my gosh. And he's like, okay, that's not an option. So then second one, trying to talk it out with Steelbeak. You know, like, okay, wait, that didn't work. So then next, he offers him a bucket of bolts. You know, like, wouldn't you like this instead?
Didn't he say, like, a great snacky poo or
a something? A great snacky poo. Which, you know, Steelbeak ended up eating along with the bucket. And then, you know, ends up next one breaking down and crying. Like, what is he saying?
It's all I have.
Like, please don't do this. This plate is all I have. And I love you. And so then there's the old English, like, allow me to introduce myself. The name is Mervyn Birdwhistle. Like, oh, you don't care, do you? Hence the beginning of this episode, by the way. I wasn't just randomly talking in an accent. Just like, allow me to introduce myself. But I love it, that one. That's when Lena just, like, face slaps and walks away. Like, just like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. What the heck?
I'm curious where he was going with that, though.
Yeah. just like, I'm just going to take this sword and be on my way now. Good day. Like, who knows what he was doing? So then, you know, next one, just like, what sword?
That like, is by far my favorite.
Clearly double his height. And so then he's like,
what sword?
You're trash man. I love how he's wearing a gray hat. I knew something was a little off with that. Like, of course he's dressed as a trash man, but like, something seems weird. And it was the gray. He's wearing a gray hat, which is exactly like his red one. Mm-hmm. But I love how he's just like, almost like I'm probably imagining these costumes, you know, and just getting them. And then it's, I'm you as a boy.
I love the way he talks, though, because in the show, he is a kid.
He's a kid. But
he's talking as a kid.
I'm you as a boy. So then he gets thrown down and, you know, he always lands in the same spot, you know, the end position. So then Lena's just chilling there in the usual end spot on her phone, just like, you done yet? So then she like snaps again. So he tries a clown, tries a little English boy. It's a British boy. So then he's starting to eye twitch, just like, nothing's working. So then the final throw, he's in his normal outfit. And I love how Lena snaps a picture, though. And then when she holds her phone down, you know, you see he's still on the screen. So you just have a picture of him laying there. So then he starts getting angry, like, I can figure this out. Like, there's a way to do this. But then his anger causes the Duke door to appear.
Yeah.
And I love how the Duke of Making a Mess is just written in blood on the door. You know, it's like, oh my gosh,
that's dark.
So then, you know, Lena turns around like, what is the Duke of Making a Mess? And I was just like, the Duke! Like, back to Infernal Internship when it was first introduced. Like, now I'm the Duke of Making a Mess. I never thought it would build up to this, you know? Like, I just thought it was just random, you know? But then, you know, he actually named his emotions. And also in, I know we've mentioned this before, but in Mr. Duck McManor, or whatever you want to call it. You know, when Huey starts panicking, you know, like, we have to have the perfect party. Dewey, you know, he's DJ Daft Duck on his screen, you know, for a split second, it pops up. The Duke is back, you know? But just for, like, a quick, like, split second, you know, just like, that Duke is back. Watch out for the Duke. So, yeah, I never thought it would build up to all this, you know, like, it's all his emotions. And, you know, we learn Huey's always had a problem with dealing with his emotions, you know, because they obviously come out sometimes as the Duke. And he's,
I was just
insane.
Thinking in Forbidden Fountain, did he mention the Duke or did we just say it was the Duke?
I don't think he said the Duke. That kind of came out
about
in
schedule.
Who cares about schedule? Let's heal this.
I'm the middle child, and I want to play.
Yeah, I want to play. So, yeah, the Duke kind of came out a bit in Forbidden Fountain, but, you know, it was kind of, you know, he's frustrated with Dewey. Let's see. So now, yeah, we're in this episode we're in his mind. We're digging deep into his struggles that he's always had, you know, trying to be normal, calm, composed, and bearing down his emotions. So then, Lena, I feel like they put this in just for the fact that she totally ditched him in Challenge of the Senior Junior Woodchucks, you know, like, you know, she's probably trash talking him and totally taking Violet's side in that episode. But now they're probably like, okay, we should probably make one where Lena's kind of encouraging him a bit, because that was a little, we, that was a little much, you know? So then, let's see. So then Lena, you know, is just like, Huey, that's your true strength? Like, you have that hiding inside of you? And I love how, you know, the whole time she's just like super chill. But then when that comes out, she's like, oh my gosh, like what the heck? Dude, that's how you beat this guy. You know, and then Huey just like deep, deep down where it belongs. And he's like, I love when he says the Duke of Making a Mess.
Like, Duke of Making a Mess.
Yeah, it's the part of him that is pure emotion and it gets in the way of his thinking and is against everything he stands for. And but then Lena encourages him, like, take it from someone who used to be Magicka's shadow. Like, you can't ignore the parts of yourself you don't like, even the parts you're afraid of. Like, you gotta own them. But then of Huey, like, but he's pure chaotic rage. Like, how he refers to him, it's like he's got two parts of himself, you know? Like,
I know.
I don't want to deal with that one. Like, I'm going to...
I don't want to deal with him.
Say normal. But then Lena, like, and you are pure frustrating order. Like, think of what you two could do together. Like, if anyone can handle the Duke, it's you. So then she tells him to go. You know, go in. Go into the door. Love how it's, like, bolted shut. You know, like, I know. This huge, heavy-duty door. So then Huey, you know, he goes and opens it.
Like, imagine Huey building that in his mind.
He's just like, keep it out!
Just like, okay, give me 50 more bolts.
Right? So then, you know, he goes to walk in, turns around, like, remember me as I was. Huey's just like, why do we keep calling her Huey? Like, it's just like, just go. Like, she's him with her hand, like, just go. Go in there. And so then... it's like, who let the Duke out?
Who?
That's just what I think.
Huey let the Duke.
Yeah, so then they go back into real life times. So then, you know, Stewie goes and takes him out. Like, it's taking a sword from a nerd. And like, wait, what's this now? You just see Huey, you know, laying on the ground, like,
breathing hard.
He just sits up. He comes back as the Duke. And so then, you know, he's going insane, having a hard time, like, oh my gosh, I can't control it. So then Lena's like, come on, you can do this. The Duke is you. Like, you can handle him. So then it goes back. We go back into Huey's mind, you know, with him.
that was great.
Because, you know, it's like there's a thumping, like, doom, doom. And so then every scene it switches, you know, Huey, and then there's the Duke staring across him. It's like, I don't know. Something they did about this just cracked me up. And so then, you know, he comes back, you know, like, holds out his hand. So then they end up joining forces, you know?
Joining forces. They're the same person.
Yeah, the same person joins forces with themselves. So then I love how you hear the whisper, like, fear and fortitude. So I don't know why I use that all the time. Like, inner strength. That is his inner strength. So then, multiple times a day, too. So then he... you know, joins forces with the Duke and does the most beautiful butt kicking Lena has ever seen. And
seriously, it was so, like, peaceful.
Yeah, it was.
Honestly, it reminded me of Aquarium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the 3:15 showing of
Aquarium.
The Waters Aquarium or whatever has been canceled.
No!
That's literally, I know a lot of quotes, but that's the only quote I don't really know that, like, the words to that one.
The 3:15
The sacred showing, waters of
Aquarian. The sacred the Aquarian the sacred water
sacred Aquarian. Waters Aquarium Aquarian yeah. Sacred waters of Aquarium maybe
I'm not really sure
anyway
maybe
it was a change to see Huey fighting because usually okay it's weird seeing him fight because usually when he fights you know he fights while he's screaming and just like swinging his arms around
you know I just thought like. He gets that from Della and Donald, and, like, them, they're just, like, always the Duke, but he's just, like, okay, that's not normal for me. That's not normal. But, like, for them, that's just normal. Yeah. So they have a Duke,
They've
too.
Got, they, when they fight Duke style when they're mad. He fights, now he's got, he's half Duke, half Huey.
He's so, Aquarian.
Yeah. It was different to see him... you know, fighting, because he never does the fighting. He's there like, mm-hmm. Okay, everyone's fighting, like, oh, we gotta do this to fix this, and, you know, he's telling everyone, you know, what to do, mm-hmm. or fighting. Or, you know, he's just like, oh my gosh, he fights sometimes, and that's saying he doesn't fight, but it was just different seeing him being, he's the only one fighting here, and he's doing an amazing mm-hmm. job of it.
Yeah.
Then Lena's just like, I'll cherish this day. She's like, whimpering, you know, like, that was so beautiful. So I know we're gonna get more of the Duke later here, like, maybe not, you know, in the next few episodes, but hopefully soon, you know, we get more of the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
So then their inner strength, Huey's is the Duke, and Lena, you know, she's always had her inner strength, it's just magic. So then we go on to the next section of the final showdown, as I called it. It's like a Western theme going here. So then Scrooge finally conquers Heron, you know? Like, okay, I got her. Like, where's everyone else? I love how, like, he's super excited, you know? Like, I got her. Like, where's everyone, you know? But then, so they all come up with, they found everything. And so then Fowl ends up confronting the family, all the agents. I love how Gander's still having an issue with her eyes.
Yeah.
And then Lena's just like, come on, like, duke it up again. Mm-hmm. Apparently needs to recharge after duking it.
It's like 2 weeks.
Can't do it. So then everyone hands over the sword pieces. And only those possessed of inner strength can wield the sword, because Heron tries to grab it, but it doesn't work out. But then the scroosh.
What was I trying to say?
I don't even know. So then the sword goes and hovers in front of the McDuck family. I love how it goes, like, flying over them. Scrooge is like, I knew this one. I'm like, yeah, and he doesn't even flinch, but everyone goes to run, you know, like, there's a sword. I mean, after Woo, you know, there's the sword that won't rest till its target's
like, yeah. Yeah,
like, oh, I know all about flying swords. This one's coming to get us. So then Scrooge, you know, grabs... Okay, wait, see. So, yeah, then Scrooge, you know, says, only those possessive inner strength can wield the sword. And Scrooge states, like, you kids have your inner strength, and you kids are my inner strength. Which, you know, that has been proven before when Della goes missing, you know, he goes kind of crazy. And then in Shadow War, the family leaves, you know, he's, like, pathetic. He's really become this pathetic. So he's pretty out of commission without them. So they're his inner strength. And so then Scrooge and the kids are, like, donned with their inner strength armor. So then the eight, you know, I love how Scrooge, you know, you want to resume this fight? And the agents are like, So then, you know, they're all following after, like, Heron's, like, almost like the lead agent, you know, because they're like, what are you going to do? And so then she, like, puts up her fist and she's like, bail! So I love how she does it, you know, and then the other three are just like, okay, let's fight, you know? Gander, for some reason, she cracks me up the most because she's just like, yeah, let's do this. And then she runs and they're all like, oh, okay, we're running now. Let's
okay,
go.
Never mind.
Nah, it cracked me up. So, yeah. But I love how, you know, all the kids and everyone are cheering like, yeah, we did this. And then you hear Louie like, yeah, you better run. But he didn't move his mouth. I was trying to figure this out. I don't know how I even noticed this. But, you know, they're all doing it. You hear Louie's. I believe it's Louie. I mean, Louie's got a pretty distinct voice. Yeah. But he says, like, you better run. And it's Dewey's mouth that moves to say that, which cracked me up.
I know. It was weird. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, what? And I was like, wait, was it Dewey that said that? So I went back a couple times. But I was like, no, it's just they just messed up, which they've done kind of
before. It'd be a hilarious, confusing episode.
What?
If they all, like, switched bodies somehow. And so their voices were all different.
I mean, just Webby impersonating Dewey confused me enough.
This still isn't the attack.
So, yeah. That was awesome. So then, you know, the family goes on, celebrates with shish kebabs. And I love how they all eat their kebabs based off of how they were in this episode, because Vi puts hot sauce on hers, you know, after eating, you know, a bunch of spicy stuff. She's like, this ain't nothing. It's Louie just, you know, savoring the flavor, and then the Duke eats Huey's for him.
I know, he's like,
Lena doesn't eat hers. And then Webby. No, she doesn't take a bite.
Huh.
And so then Webby, you know, feeds hers to Dewey with her eyes covered, you know, like, can't blindfold it, like, take a bite. I just covered my own eyes. I do is act out
podcast,
this stuff.
They can't see you.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was a good ending, you know, they're all confident, you know, we got the sword, we beat Fowl. And so, I love how, it's just something to think about is, like, the families faced off Magicka Dispel, realizing, you know, family is everything. And then the family faced off Lunaris and the moon, and then Scrooge saying, you know, you are prepared for our best, but not our dumbest. And now the family will have to face off Fowl, and what tactic will they use, you know? Because Fowl's been lurking in the shadows, plotting this conspiracy for a decade.
And they know everything about the family.
Yeah, and now it's like, almost makes you want to think like, oh, it's similar to Moon Invasion, you know? Because Lunaris has been planning this for so long and got everything planned.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think like, they wouldn't make two of the finales like almost identical, you know?
Yeah.
So it's got to be something, you know, we were told it's going to be something completely unexpected. So, whoa. And, you know, then Faust states, you know, they don't want to destroy the world. They want to steal it right under from McDuck's nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do the missing mysteries, you know, they somehow tie into this as well? And so then it's revealed the real mission of Split Sword for the Foul agents was to get one of Scrooge's feathers. And I was like, is Scrooge tied to the missing mysteries, or are the missing mysteries tied to Scrooge somehow? Like, do they need his feather for access to something that Scrooge has under high surveillance? Or is it like a key to further their plot and his DNA gives access to something connected to the missing mysteries? You know, just like, you can get pretty deep in this and like theories and stuff. Like, I don't even know. But then, you know, like, how does Isabella Finch, how is she, you know, she's going after the missing mysteries, but why was she looking for the missing mysteries? What was her goal?
Mm-hmm.
And it might be something like, you know, Scrooge, like, looked up to Isabella Finch, you know, he stayed up late reading her books of adventures, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes that she was totally different than what he thought, or what, or she, I don't even know. She, you know, discovered something about the truth of the missing mysteries or something. Yeah. Like, Fowl knows something.
And, like, had to put him back because she had exact instructions on how to get to every single one. So, like, maybe she put him back. Yeah. I don't know. That sounds stupid. Know.
No, because it said she never found them. So they're the missing mysteries. That sounds stupid.
Like, that sounds Wait, no, stupid. That sounds stupid. That's stupid.
Robot,
what is love?
That's stupid. That's
stupid.
I love Buddy. Beware of the Buddy System.
It's a good episode.
So then, yeah, I mean, you could go on and on and on about this one. But this was, what I'm going to say is, it was mentioned a couple months ago. It was a tweet by, I don't even remember, it was one of the writers for DuckTales. They were talking about, I don't have the tweet anymore, so I'm just trying to recall what I remember. But talking about, you know, like, writing for DuckTales is like, he's like, this is crazy, you know, like, talking about, like, if we could just, like, wash our hands or something of it. And he's like, wait, if we wash the monster's hands, it will die. And Frank Angonis, you know, he, you know, commented on that, like, spoilers for season 3. I was like, if we wash the monster's hands, it will die.
Like, what the heck?
What? What is happening? I don't know. So, yeah, it ended. You know, they needed Scrooge's feather. For what? We'll hopefully don't have to wait. I hope every episode, you know, they have got, you know, filler episodes or, like, you know, different stuff going on in the episode. Yeah. I hope every episode's like a Foul. It'll be kind of hard to keep up, you know, like, oh my gosh, this happened and this happened. But it'll still be cool. Like, we need, you know, bits of
information. I have a feeling
information.
I can't remember what their names are. But the Daisy and Donald one, the Christmas one, won't be about Foul.
Yeah, we got New Gods on the Block coming out. Tomorrow!
Oh my gosh.
That's tomorrow. New Gods on the Block. Super excited for that one. Yeah, and then we got the Christmas one of Scrooge, and then we got, you know, Fight for Castle McDuck. Just, yeah, we got some pretty good sounding ones coming up. Yeah, I mean, we don't have really much else to say about it. We didn't get any news this week about anything. So, yeah. Maybe next week, you know, what happens is we get, you know, Let's Get Dangerous. Week before that, we're all going insane.
I know.
With everything. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, no, you're just getting an episode. You're just getting a DuckTales episode this week. No, that's a lot. It's a big thing.
No
but
promos.
Yeah, we don't get any promos for this and nothing. So we have nothing about the new episode. So, unless I missed it, which would stink. But, yeah, we'll be reviewing New Gods on the Block. We'll record for that someday. We always say, oh, we'll do it in a couple days, and it's like a week later.
No, so, we probably will. I don't know. I don't want to say that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say anything. Yep, we will see. The grand scheme, I wonder if it's going to be something like completely unexpected, like, surprise, we're just kidding. We weren't plotting against you. No, I'm kidding. I'm just...
We weren't plotting against you. We were helping you.
We were playing a joke. No, I'm kidding.
It was a dare.
They wouldn't do that. No, Heron made me do it. I don't know. That's not going to happen. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, by the way, before we go, I didn't finish that. We kind of, you know, took a different approach to reviewing this episode due to time. But if you enjoyed this approach to the episode, instead of going through, or if you have a different idea of like, oh, I love podcasts when they go, you know, take this approach to their episodes, let us know by leaving a voice message. We'll get that because we know we're trying out different, you know, ways to see. We want your opinion on this. It's your time to shine. Yeah, we want your opinion on this. So leave a voice message like, oh, I love audio commentary. I love, you know, scene by scene. I love overviews. And, oh, I like hearing more about, you know, digging into the characters or more about the mystery or theories or whatever. Let us know. And, like, you leave a voice message. Tell us what you want to hear and we'll do it, basically. So yeah. This is all up to you. Our next episode is going to be about you and what you want. So, yep. I'm super excited to try that one out. One more thing is I want to start, we're going to have a listener of the month. And first one is, I don't even have to tell Sierra what it is because she already knows. It's, we have one listener on Overcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you listen to this podcast on Overcast, you know, we've got, you know, a bunch on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, but we've got one on Overcast. If you're listening to this, we're talking to you right now. Thank you so much because you're our most dedicated listener.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it doesn't, you know, we don't know who you are or anything, but it says, you know, listened on Overcast. So it's like, okay, this episode and all the episodes, the next three episodes or so for this month, are dedicated to you. Thank you so much for listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening on Overcast, please leave us a voice message, you know, saying what you want to see in a future episode or whatever. So thank you guys so much for listening to the Most Dangerous Podcast. We will talk to you
later. Talk at you soon.
Talk at you later. Bye, guys.